Hello and welcome to IT Camps. IT Camps is a series of events that we're going to do here about Windows Server 2012. My name is John Weston and I'm with Microsoft. In this session we'll take a look at a new feature in Windows Server 2012, specifically around the virtualization components. We're going to take a look at how to enable Hyper-V using SMB. Our agenda for this session includes enabling Hyper-V over Server Message Blocker, SMB. Then we'll take a look at why should you care about this feature and how you might want a deployment in your environment. And then we'll take a little bit deeper look at the technical overview of this session. And then finally at the end of the session we'll take a short little second video where we'll get a demonstration of how to install this feature. So let's look at enabling Hyper-V over SMB. What is Hyper-V over SMB? Well, as we all know, SMB stands for Server Message Block. This is a protocol between two computers. Now we've got a new version, SMB 3.0, that's included by default with Windows Server 2012. This allows applications on the computer to read and write files and make request services from another server in a computer network. So it's a protocol. It's a way of two computers being able to communicate with each other. We have the new version. How does this work with Hyper-V? Well, Hyper-V, first off, is our virtualization solution that's built into Server 2012, and we have a brand new version of Hyper-V. With Hyper-V, you have guest operating systems that run on your server. Each guest operating system is stored in a separate physical file known as a VHDX file, or storage area for those. Those files can get very, very large. So in a virtualization environment, you've got both the workload of the virtualization as well as the storage, the reads and writes of all that VHDX file. With this new feature, we have the capability now of offloading that storage to a file server that may is not the same server that our virtualization is running on. So here, we can store our virtual machine files, not only the VHDs and VHDXs, we can store the configuration and all the snapshots or the changes that happen to the virtualization over on a second server and have access to that using the SMB 3.0 protocol. Now this works in a standalone environment. It also works in a cluster, but I want to be really clear here. Clustering is not required to have this feature. You can do this in a standalone environment. This allows you to scale up your virtualization environment. We also can do this over what's called multi-channel, which we'll cover in a later module. So why should you care, or why do you care about enabling Hyper-V over SMB? So let's think about some of the things that this could change in your environment. We all know over the last 5 or 6 years, people are going from standard servers on physical hardware to virtualization. And people are getting much more dense number of servers in the physical footprint that they've got and the number of physical servers that they have. Now let's kind of take that and take it to the next level. So let's look at some of the features here. First is easing of provisioning and management. This allows you to take file servers instead of storage fabric or logical LUN numbers or having to spend and buy those expensive SAN storage. Okay, so you could actually store servers on other file servers and offload that process without having to buy expensive storage. You can use cheaply locally attached servers if you want. Increased flexibility. This gives you all kinds of capabilities to migrate virtual machines or databases over to another data center. So think about it. I could create a file server and then that might be in another physical location and allows me to be able to connect my servers to that. Allows you to take advantage of some of your existing investment in a converging network. So if you have some old hardware, maybe you can take advantage of that using this new feature. Also, you have the possibility of reducing capital expenditures. Instead of buying those expensive SAN storage, now you could have locally attached storage that you share out with SMB and run some of your virtual machines on that. And then finally, reduced operation expenditures. This is a feature of Windows. Okay, this is a feature of server. So reduce your operating costs, but there's no special storage and no special storage expertise. You use the same skill set that you've got that people that know Windows. So now let's take a little bit more deeper technical view of how SMB works and how you would take advantage of that with Hyper-V. First off, before we can get into that, let's talk about the requirements that it takes to set this up. So first off, we're going to need one or more computer running Windows Server 2012 with file server role installed. That's real simple. When you install a server, go to the roles and features and add the feature of file services. Then we're going to need a second computer, separate from that file server, that's got the Hyper-V role installed. That's where our virtual machines will be installed. Now we do need Active Directory, so we've got to have Active Directory services. It doesn't have to necessarily be on this same server, but we do have to have a domain controller somewhere in the network, and these two servers do need to be a member of that domain. We can do support standard configurations so that we can do a standalone, no high availability here. So it's no fault tolerance setup, but you can do this with locally attached, cheap, inexpensive drives. Or this also works in a failover cluster. Again, failover clustering is not required, but it is a great optional feature. So here's three examples of some common configurations that we see people starting to use with SMB and Hyper-V combination. First is a single node file server. As you see, we have Hyper-V parents. We've got all the disk storage that's connected to that. Lowest cost for share storage. Shares are not continuously available for fault tolerance. Dual node file servers. This again allows us to have our Hyper-Vs and being able to have low cost continuous storage available. And then kind of bringing it up to the next level, we end up with multi-node file servers. This is our highest scalability. It allows you to create very large environments, very dense environments. Yes, it does have a higher cost, but lower than doing everything with Fibre Channel or to another online storage system. So let's talk about the workflow of how we would install SMB. The first thing is you install that Hyper-V role, then you install the file services as we mentioned in the prerequisites. Then you create an SMB file share. I'll show you in the demo in a little bit later and actually the steps that go through to create this file share. It's really pretty simple. Then you want to create the virtual machine and the virtual machine hard disk. That's that VHDX file. And then you want to put that VHDX file on the share that you created in the SMB file share. Then you may want to migrate existing virtual machines that you have over to that file share. It allows you lots of flexibility where you store all this information. So here's a screenshot that we'll use a little bit later to show you how to create that SMB share. It's really quite simple once you got the file and storage services installed. Go up there and create a share, new share, and there's lots of different types of SMB shares that you can create, and we'll go into that in the demo. We also can do things with PowerShell. So here are three examples of PowerShell commandlets that you might want to use with your SMB shares. So get-vm helps you determine the current storage being used by your virtual machine. Move-vm storage is a command that helps you move files over to your SMB file share. Notice the syntax here of the destination path. So you have to create the SMB share first, then you would use this PowerShell commandlet to be able to move that over to the location. And finally, to confirm your configuration of the migration, again, use that get-vm command. You can see the switches there that you would send that command to make sure that everything got moved. Again, we'll do the video here in just a minute, but before we get to the video and the demonstration in the second video, let's talk about your next steps. And we'll have a next steps in each one of the end of the sections. And you may want to take a look at these slides for a few minutes because there's some great resources here. We've got resources on TechNet that give you great overviews of what SMB is all about, some good white papers. Also in the middle here, notice lots of the URLs here start with aka.ms. These are nice little short URLs for you to be able to download System Center, Windows Server, and go to our free training at Virtual Academy. So for example, if you want to go look at Windows Server 2012 and get the free 180-day evaluation, go to aka.ms/HWWS2012 so you can go download the free copy of Windows Server 2012 and try this on your own. Our Virtual Academy is some great online free training. Anybody can go into there. It's a lot of free training in many different languages. So go out and check out Virtual Academy. So stay tuned for the next video where we'll show you how to do the demonstration of implementing SMB.